It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is another edition of Unrivaled right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on the program. Scott, what's up, dude?
Well, I am so excited about this show. I've had like these enlightening moments.
Oh.
Yeah, I have one. I have an enlightening moment that I just can't wait to tell you about. I'm not going to tell it to you now, but I promise you I'm going to tell you during the show.
Well, it should be a fun show. We've got a lot of things.
Yeah, I will tell you this.
What?
Ted Lasso last night might be the best episode in the 3 years.
It was
lagging.
When you catch lightning in a bottle,
yeah.
You know, Breaking Bad was like this for me, where I was like, there's no way they can get better.
Yeah.
And there were some times you're like, that's a dog of an episode.
Yeah.
And you have to remember, you'll say, I didn't like that episode. I don't know what they're doing with this storyline. And I was reading the other day that they were trying to kill off Hank really early in the series. And I thought, what a disaster that would be, right? That became one of the more heartbreaking / amazing relationships in the entire show. Welcome back to TV Talk. It's Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell.
Anyways, it was good.
Listen, yeah. I am amazed because if you were to go back to young Scott Mitchell, he's in the NFL, and you go, hey, your favorite TV show is going to be 100% centered around English Premier League soccer.
Yes.
In the future.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to live and die by that show. That would be a shock to you. And here we are.
Yeah, but there's something. I'm not an inflexible person.
You're open-minded.
Yeah, I come across as being stodgy and set in my ways and rather conservative, and those are true things. But you know what? I have a vast array of interests and things.
I would never describe you as stodgy? Yeah, I would never describe you as stodgy. Okay?
You know...
As you get older, though.
Yeah. I really have gotten to the point where I don't care. I used to care, and I would, you know. And now it's like, I'm going to tell you how I feel. If you're annoying me, I'm going to tell you you're annoying me. Alex, you're annoying me.
There you go.
Just so you know.
Okay.
No.
Any given time.
And, yeah, it's just like a blanket statement.
I know.
It's just like all the time. I don't have time for people with negative energy in my life. I'm done with it.
There's a scene out of you're Kathy Bates from Fried Green Tomatoes.
That's totally me.
Do you remember? The young lady pulls in on a spot that she had been waiting for, and then she just crashes into her and goes, I'm older and I have more insurance. Yep. I don't care.
That's me. That is me right there. 100%.
If you were waiting to tick off on your unrivaled bingo card a reference to Kathy Bates and Fried Green Tomatoes, we might have a winner on in the show.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And they go, what kind of stuff can you guys talk on your show that really reels in audiences? I was hoping to bring up a top 15 movie in the year 1989.
It was a great movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just not one that you'd usually get on sports talk radio, but here we are. Just that's the range that we have on this program.
Okay, I know we got to get on with the show.
Yes.
I watched Smokey and the Bandit 1 and 2. And
what,
I loved
recently?
Them. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Like two nights ago. And I'm going to tell you, loved them.
Yeah.
Loved them. The chemistry between Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields is amazing. And and what's his name? Sheriff Buford T. Yeah. Justice?
Buford T. Justice. That's exactly right.
Oh, my goodness.
All of our shows back
Jackie Gleason was just so good.
We had so many shows. We had so many shows that were based on, like, car chases in the South. Like, that was yeah. we had so many shows that were based off of that.
And just so you know, I thought Archie Bunker really pushed the limits of, like, no, Smokey, of Jackie Glee, of, yeah. Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
No, there's yeah. another. There's a it's, different world. Like, it's
yeah.
That'll it'll yeah. get canceled soon enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to.
It'll be the baby it's cold outside yep. of 80s movies yep. pretty soon.
Yeah.
We're not going to see it anymore. All right. We got to jump into the show. We've got so many things to go here on the program. Let's just get going with our cut. That's what we call it. But we have another fun thing that we're going to do in the middle of it. So
yeah,
here
do.
We go. It's the cut right here at the top of the program.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it. All right, the cut and our program brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bar. Perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. I had one today. I got it at Maverick. It's in the refrigerated section. You can go to Costco, Maverick, Holiday Oil, Associated Foods, and some of the 7-Elevens down there in Utah County. For sure they're there. G2G Bar. And also Trajan Wealth, TrajanWealth.com. Scott, this is something that's been in the works for a minute just because we wanted to actually do some – we wanted to put some music to what has become a – not a key feature in our show, but it certainly comes up more often than we'd think. And now, once you start looking for those things, it's pretty obvious that this needs to be a part of the show. And so, without further ado, a new segment on the program. Let's do it.
In a world of complicated news stories, worn-out cliches, and fake news, only one man can simplify even the most complex headlines. He's Captain Obvious.
Now, Captain Obvious is one of your other personas, Scott. When you have these glasses on that you have in studio, and then you take them off and put on the outfit, you become Captain Obvious. And there's so many Captain Obvious things in the world of sports. It's like the most ridiculous thing that people will try to roll out what a quote-unquote storyline is. And here we are. The very first one that I saw today that absolutely made me nuts was the Celtics now know what they have to do in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Because, I mean,
they were down 3-0.
Right.
They win game four, and then the yeah. headline is, now they know what they need to do in the Eastern
yes.
Conference Finals.
Yes, yes.
Which is two things.
Oh, it's two.
Yeah, okay. It's not lose. And yes. then the other one is win it.
Win. Oh, yeah.
So you're going to want to win.
Right. And not lose.
And not lose.
And not
all
lose.
At the same
yes.
time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
These are the kind of important Captain Obvious statements that you're going to get on a day like this. And I looked at it and I went, hey, this is a great headline. This is an amazing headline. They start rolling it out there. And you brought something up about this because you have this Jaylen Brown to the Jazz
yes.
T-shirt you've been trying to get printed and trademarked.
Yes.
And they came back, and Scott was actually pretty upset when he came in the office today.
I was furious.
And it was the freaking Heat, man. How could they blow that 3-0 lead already? And it was like, dude, this is only game four.
I know, but it was at home. Come on, close them out.
Okay, Jimmy Butler.
I'm kind of surprised. I'm surprised.
What are you surprised about?
Well, I'm surprised the Celtics showed up. I think they were trying to miss. And they just kept making it. And they're like, oh, fine, whatever. We're just going to have one of those nights. Let's just go ahead and win this game. And prolong the inevitable.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen, right? They're going to end up having to go into game four. Their backs are against the wall. They have to win this thing. Do they come back from that 3-0 deficit like a team has never done in the NBA? Who knows?
Well, I mean, you can look at it both ways. You can look at it as like, well, it's never been done, so more than likely it won't happen. Or it's never been done, so it's about time that someone does it. You know, the percentages just say if you play enough games, play enough series, you play long enough, everything's going to happen at some point. And so it's a possibility. I will just tell you this. It has a sneaky feeling like it's a possibility. Can I give you another Captain Obvious?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Absolutely.
So this is Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
And he goes, he knows that he has a connection to people in France,
mm-hmm.
and it's very hard to leave, but he knows that he needs to say goodbye.
Hey, I'm going to play in the NBA. You know what that requires?
I can't be
in France when that happens.
I love the cheese. I love all what? That other stuff. I don't like, know. What? The Eiffel Tower. Like,
what else do they do there? Oh, my goodness.
I love when they have that bicycle race. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Tour de France.
That bicycle
I
race.
I love the Louvre.
Yeah, that's for you, man. Yeah, that place is for you.
Love the Louvre.
Have you ever been to the Louvre?
Yeah, that Mona Lisa. She moves me.
I think it's pronounced Mona.
Mona Lisa?
Mona Lisa. Yep.
No, it's the Mona Lisa.
It's the Mona Lisa. Hey.
And she moves me.
I've got one from the annals of the NFL. Wait, right now.
It's the Mona Lisa?
It's the Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, no, it is. Okay. I just figured if you're going to get the Louvre.
The Louvre?
then we're gonna get the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, it's the Louvre is related to the Favre.
I've got one. Adrian Peterson hasn't filed his retirement papers, Scott, with the NFL. You know what that means?
He's not retired.
He says he's not. He said, I'm not retired because I haven't filed my retirement papers. Now, what does that mean? He says he's still staying in touch with teams, and he didn't play last season. He only needs 82 rushing yards to get 15,000 for his career. Okay, he's 350 yards away from tying Barry Sanders for fourth place all time on the rushing list. The thing is that I feel like Adrian Peterson doesn't deserve to pass Barry Sanders on the list of all time running backs, and at least yardage wise. I want it to stay right here. Because in terms of greatness, Barry Sanders is fourth on the list, and he could have easily been first. How long was Barry's career? 10 years? It was short.
10 years.
He goes 10 years.
Yeah.
He averages 5. Barry Sanders, not that you needed to be told this or didn't see it yourself, he averaged 5.1 yards per carry in his career.
Yeah.
That is insane. Now, I know that's blown up a lot by the fact that he had a lot of big runs. And he had a lot of negative runs, and that kind of evens out. But 5 yards a pop, man, that was something special. Scott,
so five
yards gets you to halfway to 10 yards.
Yeah,
that's where you want to be on second down, is just 5 yards away from the first down.
Most people take 3 yards on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Barry was a guy that had a lot of big runs.
Oh yeah,
I think in a long time in the NFL, you didn't see. And I don't know that you see it even today, where you have these running backs that just have these long runs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a home run hitter. He was a guy that was going to – and you get a guy like Emmitt Smith, who – Emmitt Smith didn't really have a lot of big runs. You know, Emmitt Smith had 4 yards, 5 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards, 8 yards, 6 yards, you know, but he didn't have that just breakaway. And Barry Sanders was one of the rare talents, I think – maybe ever in the NFL that had the ability to take it to the house. I mean, he was just that special. He was that amazing. He was that difficult to tackle. So he was kind of like the Neiman Marcus, and you get Adrian Peterson probably like the Walmart.
Like a Nordstrom. Oh, I was gonna say just one step below, like a Nordstrom or something.
No, because I think.
Oh, yeah. Because it does a lot of value. It does a lot of business.
Yeah, he just got a lot of
right.
And Emmitt Smith may be a step above that. He may be like a Target. You know, it's a finer type of.
Oh, it is?
Well, yeah, because Target.
Compared to Walmart. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's a very important.
Like, you know that Walmart's a juggernaut. I just wanted to work that again into the show two days in a row.
Juggernaut.
Okay. I did want to bring up that in this Captain Obvious. In this Captain Obvious, I saw last night. Now, this is a hockey story, Scott.
Oh.
So, you know, the Golden Knights are up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. They're only one win away. Usually the playoffs are more hotly contested than this. And they went into Dallas last night, and they won game 3 handily. So they're up 3-0. And their coach said, I can't stress enough how well our guys are playing right now. That's how we're winning these games. So when you play well, you're going to win a hockey game there, Scott.
Is that how that works?
That's how it works. He said, I can't stress enough how well our guys are playing right now. I think we got it by the 3-0 lead. I think we got it by you going in and stuff. Did you see, by the way, the Dallas Stars fans threw trash onto the ice? They started throwing trash onto the ice. Your team's in the Western Conference freaking finals, man.
Isn't that a badge of courage or honor?
It's not a badge of courage or honor. It's them throwing garbage on the ice at their own team. That's what the Dallas Stars fans are doing. And today, their ownership released a statement and said, "We're so sorry. This is not who the Dallas Stars are." I was like, "It kind of is when you do it, throwing garbage on the ice. We're not the fan base that throws trash on the ice. You are now. I don't know. Like, remember throwing the octopus on the ice? You lived in Detroit.
Well, no, that
was a good thing.
Right.
That was good.
Yeah.
That's a fun kind of trash.
Or they throw the hats.
They throw
on
the hats on there. But this one, throwing.
Like, you get an octopus on the ice.
No. This is like half-eaten hot dogs. Mm. It's the reverse. It's the reverse of all this. So there you go.
But isn't that, I mean, I guess that's kind of a good outlet for fans. Isn't it kind of a healthy outlet? I mean, because it's in a confined space, you know, no one's really getting injured.
It actually probably helps in the cleanup of the arena, to be quite honest.
Throw all your trash
onto the trash onto the ice. The Zamboni just vacuums it up, doesn't
it? I don't know if a Zamboni will scoop that up, but, you know.
Isn't the Zamboni just, I mean, at the very least, they get those guys who skate out there with those long brooms, and you got that thing zipped up pretty quickly. In the end, this could be a positive thing.
I got another Captain Obvious.
Tell me.
Sean Payton, the Broncos head coach, has made it clear that roster spots are earned.
Oh.
They're not given. So you have to earn your
spot. Hold
the
phone here. they don't have placeholders for like the Walmart. Like the Walton family has a nephew who's like a really good guy. They want to put him on the staff.
Like we have 53 spots and we hold out three for, you know, just anyone. We'll just give out a few spots.
Listen, you know what would be nice is if you had a roster spot but you paid for it. That's how you raise funds, man.
Oh.
And now that you have that emergency quarterback situation, just use that emergency quarterback situation as like one of the Waltons' weird sons wants to be on a football team. And then the way they do it is that they go, hey, we'll also donate X amount of money to this whole thing. Now, they're already donating quite a bit of money because they're the owners, but, you know.
You know, I had another – I'm just full of –
chock full of ideas
full
today.
Full of brilliant ideas
yeah,
today.
I want to hear
I'm
this.
I'm full of them. All right. What you have is both teams have fans who pay for a game experience. So the fans become the kickoff and kickoff return team. So
like your Texas A&M Aggies,
Jeremy? The 12th man idea. But these are beer belly guys. These are fans.
They got to sign the waiver. They got to be ready for it.
You got to sign the waiver, but you also have to pay the money.
Right? Yeah. What's that worth to go on the field?
I don't know.
If it's in the Super Bowl.
Whatever. So you have a kickoff, you have a kickoff return team.
Right.
And they treat them like they're the cheerleaders. You know, they're kind of off to the side. You have a handler. You know, and they're able to sit on a certain part of the sideline, and they get to watch maybe a little segment of the game.
But here's they're the also thing. Suited up, they're in gear.
Right, they're in gear. No, they're on the sideline. They're there. Now here's the catch, and that's my point. It's a fair catch. So they just get to run down the field, and there's no there's no touchdown. There's no anything. It's kind of like when they do these like halftime football games or little basketball games.
And they let that kid just keep going. Yeah.
But they do it in the game because they just go, we're gonna eliminate kickoffs. We're going to set the ball at the 25-yard line, and we're going to let high-priced donors go out on the field, and they get to hit each other.
But look,
they get to run down the field. They get to hit each other and all this stuff, but they just – But then it's a fair catch.
Remember when Jeff Bezos – now, remember when Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk were racing to space? This is a way cooler opportunity, I think. Be on an NFL roster. You have your contract hanging on the wall. This day in 2023, you are a member of this team, and you're like, and you get a game check too, like a fake game check. It's like $2,800 for your services,
and you get to go to the team hotel. You get to stay in the hotel overnight.
That could be nasty.
You have your own team meeting,
yes,
and maybe they watch highlight films. Maybe a player, they get to meet the players.
Oh,
the players
this.
Come in.
This is
they have a real nice, fancy like dinner before the night of the game.
How much would this be worth?
And then on game day, they get to do the team meal. They get to go in, and so the pregame team meal they get to be a part of.
How much would this be worth? Like if it was at your local charity auction, you know when they put that up there, like yeah. So, you can suit up with the Broncos on in Week 14 against the Indianapolis Colts, and you're a special teamer, right?
Yeah.
But special is like really special,
like
you get on the field and like you have kind of a bubble around you
to give a fan the experience I have just described to you. At least $10,000 a person,
and every week there's
at
one,
least
every team has one opportunity to sell this off to one person a year, and they make some money from that. And a whole TV series is made out of it because you have 17 or 18 weeks. That playoffs are out because that's when we're getting serious.
Yeah.
17
regular
weeks,
season.
Yeah. 18 weeks of each team and the guy. And we document the crud out of that guy's 1 week or that lady's 1 week.
Yes.
See, that's what it is, too.
And maybe they have their own little mini camp, boot camp.
They have to go to practice. Do some gassers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, it's open for men and women both.
Yeah.
You just have to be 18 plus. Okay, that's all. Got to be an adult.
And I just love to see the hamstrings being pulled as they run down the field as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah, it's a lot of Achilles situations. But again, that's what the – now, do the team doctors officially have to attend to that if you get hurt during that whole thing?
You're just out. You're immediately put on IR and waived.
And you're waived.
So you're going to get the IR experience. You're going to get waived from the team.
You get the full thing.
Yeah.
Turn in your playbook.
Yeah. Now they'll give you severance. You're gonna get paid severance.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you've described is basically I'm gonna sell myself on this idea. The NFL is gonna get to the point where they're gonna be so desperate for money. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That they're gonna let you do this.
Now, and here's the thing. Here's what you do with the money. It's all to a charity.
Oh, okay.
All the money goes to a charity.
1,000%.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump out to
a better kickoff and kickoff return?
Yes.
Than kind of what they have going on right now.
And here's this week. You can imagine them like zooming in on the guy and he's waving to the crowd. His ill-fitting uniform is out there. And they're like, they put his stats up. They put their real height and weight on there. Yeah, 5'11", 319. He plays cornerback. Like, you can put whatever you want on that thing. All right. Let's take the break here. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I mean, what am I new at this? What's going on?
Looked like it for a second.
No, I was ready.
I have more insurance.
I had to put my pants on.
I'm older and I have more insurance.
You know, I'm older, I have more insurance.
You're not going to annoy me.
Kathy Bates over here. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Lots going on a Wednesday. And when I say lots going on, I mean it's relative because this time of year, you know, we tend to be kind of going, but I am a big believer. I've always been like this since I've been in radio. I'm a big believer in there's no real such thing as a slow news day. But if there were, this would kind of be along those lines. Because, you know,
I guess
in terms of actual
games.
I'm
having my best ideas today. I don't know what is happening.
I think it's because you're allowing yourself to be open-minded because you're not bogged down by actual games being played. Although the Celtics went ahead and didn't get swept last night, which means that you're Jaylen Brown. It's like, remember on Back to the Future when his brother starts disappearing in the picture? That's Jaylen Brown.
No. Look.
Every time a win happens, he's like, oh my goodness, half of my hand's gone.
No. It's like when they try to fix the game. They got to kind of make it look good.
Okay.
So they got to win one game.
Going back to that whole thing.
Got to try something.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how much there's going to be, you know, down the line in the next month or so. But, like, we have so many things planned out. Think about the actual draft itself. Think about the draft itself. When we start thinking about that three-pick first round that the Jazz have, or at the very least, maybe there's some crazy wheeling and dealing that goes on, then that's insane. Then that's a big deal. And when that happens, and we're a month away from today, so that's a month from today that the actual NBA draft happens. Huge deal. Anyway. Hey, by the way, our Ask Scott Anything segment is brought to you by the folks at Mountainland Supply. Drop into the many Mountainland Supply locations across Utah for your truck outfitting, power equipment, snowplow, motor rewinding, and all your tool and safety needs. Scott, this might be a good time to get a snowplow, right? Right now.
Yeah, I always like to get things out of season.
That's what I'm saying. Save a little money.
My clothes. So I buy my shorts in the fall, and I buy my long sleeve shirts in the spring.
But you're kind of a shorts 365 kind of guy.
I've become that person, haven't
yeah.
I?
Yeah, you know why? Because you don't care anymore.
I don't care. if someone says, hey, you can't wear shorts anymore, then I won't wear shorts. But until that day happens,
Tempt our bosses, man. They'll say it.
Yeah.
We don't want them to say it. All right.
Can I just get into this? I'm itching. I know
Scott
you want to talk
idea.
About
I have something to ask you because it's Ask Scott Anything, but I want to hear your idea.
All right. So they're trying to figure the onside kick, right? To make it where, because no one gets the onside kick anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not safe, and it's not all these things.
It also never really gets, it has zero conversion almost.
Right, it just doesn't work.
In the NFL.
Yeah. So I have a solution. And this whole thing in the world of you know, trying to make the kick better or, you know, just put the ball on the 25-yard line, making it a safer game, but also giving teams a chance to come back at the end, right? So you everyone goes, okay, you know, it's kind of fun when these games get close at the end, but then the one team never has a shot because they could never get the onside kick. What if you did this? Let's just say that you score a touchdown.
Right.
Okay? So instead of kicking an onside kick and an extra point, so if you go for two, right, you put the ball, on the three-yard line? And if you score, you get 2 points.
Right.
Okay, fine. Keep that. Now, let's say you move the ball back to the 10-yard line. So from the 10-yard line, one play, it's a try after, and if you are at the 10-yard line, you get 3 points.
Okay. I think the XFL is doing something similar, okay. Aren't they? Or USFL.
If you're at the 20, it's 4. 30, it's 5. 40, it's 6. And the 50-yard line,
it's a full touchdown.
It's a full touchdown. You got one shot, one play. So you've just thrown a Hail Mary.
Right.
And now you have a chance to get an extra point. Just one play. It's not a whole series. You don't get
right,
the ball
back.
Right,
but if you're down by 5... Go for that. Go for six.
Go
or
for
go
six.
For five
go
to
for
try
five
it.
To tie.
And if 5 is at the 25, I like this.
Yes.
Listen, so, and I know that people are out there going, "This has become so ridiculous. It's become so gimmicky." But the thing is,
it's not because you want to save teams on the onside
right.
kick, right? You don't want to hurt anyone, and it's become so timid that teams have no shot to come back. They're not going to get the ball. So just give. And they're desperate anyway, so make it a desperation one play. That gets exciting. That gets really interesting.
Okay, so what was
and it
the,
keeps the team.
What was the number again? So you get from the two, or you
the
get
normal
from the three, it's 2-point conversion.
Normal 2-point conversion.
Okay.
Okay. From the 10, It's 3 points.
Ten to get three.
So it's a field goal. So
I'm actually crafting an email to Roger Goodell. So I want to get this right.
So 10 is three.
Uh-huh.
20-yard line's four. 30-yard line's five. 40-yard line's six. And the 50-yard line is seven.
Okay.
Now if you...
You can't do anything past that. Because getting a full touchdown after a score seems...
No. Okay.
I love how you're like, I'm generous. But after that, you could have a 14-point play... After when if you score, so when they say a two-score game, that really has to be above 14 points.
Yeah, but when you're when you're down and you're kicking an onside, you're desperate anyways. So this is just another desperation play.
I think there would probably be a better, or I don't know, we'd have to dive into the numbers, but the NFL has these numbers. I can't remember the conversion rate. Look for what the conversion rate is on
Hail Marys.
On onside kicks. Yeah. And I bet. And it's not.
It's ridiculously low.
Right.
It's just.
And it's not even necessarily about Hail Marys, but a fifth. So it's a 5% conversion on the onside kick. How many Hail Marys have there been? Now, and Hail Mary is not even it. 50-yard play is what 50-yard touchdowns really what we're looking at.
Right.
And that happens much more than a converted onside kick.
But doesn't it kind of give you hope and excitement?
And again, we've talked about this because it keeps the best players on the field too.
Yes. Now. If you don't get it, obviously you get 0 points. They get the ball at the 25-yard line. And then it's still
How about this? How about they get the ball from where you did not make your conversion?
That's an option too.
That penalizes you for choosing the option of trying to get 6 points.
They get the ball at the 50-yard line.
They end up you're trying
or
to get
the 40 or the 30.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Look, we've got to put our heads together more like this, dude.
Yeah.
We should put a show together.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm full of really good ideas today, and I really because I think this solves a lot of things with what the NFL is trying to do. But what it also does is it gives hope and it creates excitement, and it's not more dangerous for these players or teams than if they were going to kick an onside kick.
Let me ask you this: there's a players' association, right? There's a players' union.
Yes.
Is there a kickers' union? A specialist union? Because they technically,
they're not players.
You always talk about them not really being them.
So
I know they're represented by that union, but I think the kickers union, I don't know how powerful it is, but the kickers union is going to fight against anything that does not have them on the field ever.
No, and this takes them off the field quite a bit.
Yes, and I'm for
minimizes
it. Because
that.
Again, the onside when they did the extra point that was think about how ridiculous the extra point was in the pros when they were doing it from the three, right? Yeah. And it's a 20-yard conversion. And for years, for decades, they did it, and it was just such a garbage play. All it was a stopgap between commercials where they get – and so, by the way, if you're looking for commercial traffic, somebody scores a touchdown, and you're waiting to see what that play is going to be, and you run that ad before they come back and run the 6-point conversion, that's pretty awesome. And so then it becomes the most exciting play of the freaking day. And then I'm there for it. And by the way – easier to sell some of those. I think we would be surprised. We already know how little actual game time happens in a football game. Like when we do the stop clock on or the stopwatch right. on how much actual action is going on in these football games. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. And I mean, you can't be going that hard for the entire game either. But you know, this is not a running clock. You need to incorporate some stuff that could be some strategery that's pretty cool. And when you get that 5 and 6 and the first 7-point conversion in NFL history, we're talking – then everyone's going to be over the moon about it, man.
The NFL has already established that they want to make the extra point part of the game more interesting. They moved the extra point kick back. So they've already said
you've had some misses and stuff that have made it more interesting.
But they've recognized and implemented a way to say, let's make the game – much more fun. And don't you think this would be like, you know, because you start doing the math and you go, oh, we got a shot. You know, we're only down by 4 if we score. We're only down by 5 or 3 or, you know, or even that desperation. And how freaking exciting is that where you go score a touchdown and you got a chance for a 7-point conversion? And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it still puts a team, you know, with a chance to play and it makes the game more exciting. And it gives, you know, it gives the team some hope and it gives them a
Brilliant.
Chance.
Brilliant.
So
love it. All right. Let's take another break here. When we come back, we have our What Are the Odds around the corner. Questions that are burning about the world of sports, and we give you options of whether or not that thing could happen or could not happen. Plus, there's a burning Kyrie question that has been happening that I'm going to throw into what are the odds that you're going to – and the answer, man, Jazz fans are going to love this question. Stay with us, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly.
More or less.
What's going to happen?
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, what are the odds brought to you by Ticketmaster.com. Tickets now on sale for the Be Funny Nate Bargatze tour at the Delta Center. It's happening the 29th and 30th of September. They added an extra show there. Two shows for Nate Bargatze. Ticketmaster.com for those tickets. What are the odds? Scott, I know you're familiar with it, but maybe somebody listening. There's always a new listener. There's always a new listener, somebody who doesn't know the rules, and so here we go. I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that that thing will or will not happen. And then bonus points are given if you can give a jersey number across the wide world of sports that is associated with that particular number. This one's not on the list here, but I saw this. This almost could have been or should have been in that in the Captain Obvious segment, because the question is, would Kyrie Irving be a fit for the Lakers? And the answer is most certainly a no, just based off of where Kyrie Irving has been recently.
Yeah.
Now, he did win a championship. What does PK always say? A championship. He won a championship with LeBron, of course, at Cleveland. But that was a different Kyrie, right?
Maybe Kyrie is like the Antonio Brown, and that Tom Brady was the only guy that could manage Antonio Brown for a minute. Maybe that's how LeBron is. He's the only guy that can manage a Kyrie.
If that could produce Kyrie ripping his shirt off and giving the double birds to the scoring desk before he walks out of the arena, I'm all for this. I'm all for this in general, just because this is a nail in the coffin of this Lakers dynasty this Lakers attempt to win another title. Time's running out, and it would actually be all the way out, I think, if they add Kyrie.
We like intrigue. We like drama. Kyrie to the Lakers is like the next incarnation of what Dynasty, Dallas, you know, all those good 80s, you know.
It usually revolved around
family drama shows.
An older guy, LeBron.
Yeah.
What was the Dallas guy's name?
J.R. Ewing.
So, yeah, you got J.R. Ewing. That's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And then just people around him trying to kill him and, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And then his son taking over.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Right.
It's a very soap opera type situation. Bring it on. What are the odds it actually happens, though? Because even the Lakers can't be this dumb, right?
They're proving to be pretty stupid. So I'm going to say Jack Lambert, 58%.
He's not 57?
No, he's 58.
I trust you. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with a LeBron James 6% chance that it actually happens. I don't think it's going to happen.
That it's not going to happen.
Sorry. I'm saying a 6% chance that it does happen.
Wait.
We got our wires crossed. Either way, though, it's low.
We're both saying the same thing.
Yes.
We're just asking the question differently.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. So.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. Thanks for being a part of the program. You can always download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Go to kslsports.com, and you can see where to stream our station all day long, and also each individual show you can find segment by segment. We parse it out for you, so it's just easy to be able to listen to the topics and the people that you want to. There you go. kslsports.com and the KSL Sports app. Joining us on the program right now, one of our former KSL TV colleagues. He is Dave McCann, of course, now of BYU TV fame. You can also find him on Wise Guys. He and Blaine Fowler doing such a fantastic job with that. In itself, it's its own BYU-based talk show. So there you go. Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, happy almost end of May.
Oh, it is. And, you know, this is our dog days, right, in terms of talk radio, in terms of, you know, there's just not a lot going on. We have a lot to talk about. But when we don't have actual games that are going on, that gets us into a weird space where we left to our own devices, we will come up with some weird stuff during this time of year. But for BYU fans, the countdown has to be on. WCC competition is now officially over for BYU. How's everybody feel about that?
They feel great. I think everyone's so happy that the WCC was available for 12 years for all of those sports and helped facilitate where they're going now into the Big 12. I think that the league, the conference was happy BYU came, and it was a win-win for everybody. And so onward and upward into, you know, a much more challenging world.
I asked Mitch Harper this the other day. I'm curious to get your take on it. A few years ago, back when Utah left the Mountain West and went to the Pac-12, BYU went to independent, and there was a lot of, you know, with the Pac-12, well, we don't really want BYU because of its conservative religious values, and maybe it's not a research institute, whatever it might be. But there were clearly overtones related to, you know, what was going on there. And then there was this kind of midstream possibility of BYU actually making it into the Big 12. And there was a lot of pushback from people because of the conservative religious views. And now this last time, it was like the Big 12 was with open arms. You never heard word one about it. It was all very, you know, everyone's happy about it. What changed? Why the difference?
President Worthen told me that the difference was about a five-minute phone call. When they called to invite, it took 5 minutes. And what about this? Good. What about that? No problem with that. And so remember back in, 2015 or 17 when BYU thought there was an opportunity because Oklahoma and Texas were squawking about wanting more money. And then they thought, well, then let's expand and get a bigger deal and all that stuff. Really, they were posturing for more money just to keep within themselves. But at the time, BYU really thought they were getting a serious look and big presentations and all this stuff. And you're right, there was pushback from Iowa State and some of the other spots. It was the honor code. It was some of the church policies that weren't widely understood coming from the Big 12. And BYU did a lot of stuff to clarify and in many aspects make things better. In the event, you know, with no promise, but in the event that something might come back around. And so when it did come back around because of the need for the Big 12 to survive, all those problems were gone. And all those problems might have still existed with the group if it was BYU trying to get in. Instead, it was the Big 12 trying to survive and get BYU in. And, you know, we all have a different perspective when we're living high on the hog and don't need anybody, or when the storms of life come and we're on our knees praying for help to get through. And the Big 12 was basically in that spot once Oklahoma and Texas said we're out. And they responded in a way where they went and got four teams. And look where they are today, just in the last, you know, year and a half of all this kind of coming about, that they're in a position of strength and they're going to survive. They're not going to be bigger and better than the SEC or the Big Ten, but they might be able to go toe-to-toe with the ACC and TV money and hold it together compared to what's going on in the Pac-12, where they don't know which direction they're going and if they're going a direction at all. All this, like in the last 18 months, just because Texas and Oklahoma split and USC decided to go to the Big Ten. It's crazy that a couple of schools can change this.
Dave, one thing that I'm curious about is that we will kind of set it and forget it on football because we don't have anything to like go off of. you know, any morsel that we can get, you'll go the direction of, man, this team is going to outperform whatever the expectations would be, versus this team is not going to do well or whatever. You know, the fear of not performing immediately as they get into the Big 12. What's the reality that I think that a BYU fan should kind of have through this time of year when we really don't have anything to go off of except for maybe adding a transfer or two and guys that most people aren't even familiar with? What are they to understand about where things really are for this football program as they get into the fall?
Yeah, you know, I would just say just enjoy the moment and enjoy the fact that BYU is moving into the Big 12 and no one really knows what's going to happen. But optimism breeds, you know, more optimism. And fans are optimistic right until they're not. And it's what makes them great. I spent years covering UNLV football as their play-by-play announcer. And they were literally the worst team in the league. And but every offseason and summer, as the coaches work hard and try to get players and they have great personalities on the team, by the time they come to kickoff, you know, even the small band of Rebel fans are back around going, you know what, maybe we could get to a bowl game and beat Reno. That'd be a great year for UNLV. And then they go win two games. Some years they didn't win any. And it was just, it's just how we are as fans. We have the right to be optimistic and sometimes not realistic. And then we're pleasantly surprised or we're disappointed when the chips are on the table. But here in May, you know, you have a vision of playing at Texas and hosting Oklahoma and playing at TCU was in the championship game last year. And you know, fans like to throw out the big money that's coming in, but they don't get any of it. So I kind of put that to the side. It's who do you want to watch in your stadium and who do you want to take a shot at? And that's what you build your optimism around, because the last 12 years have been great Septembers and then not so great the rest of the way because the P5 teams are playing P5 teams in their own league. So I love that BYU fans are optimistic and it's okay to have the blue goggles on. They listen to radio shows. They read newspaper articles, listen to podcasts, watch BYU TV. It's the business the three of us are in. Thank goodness fans are optimistic. Look at that, the Jazz traded everybody away. They played hard, and the fans got right behind them.
Right.
And in the end, the fans were disappointed, even though they didn't have a roster. All their stars were playing somewhere else. And you know what? The fans will be right back around for another go at it, because it's so much better than so many aspects of the rest of our life that we lock into this stuff and hope for the best.
Speaking of blue goggles, we had Pete Futek, who is a national writer for college football, and he said, look, Texas and Oklahoma are no longer in the Big 12. He believes that BYU could be the most, the most marketable, the most visibly profiled program in the conference. Do you think he's right?
Well, yeah, it's possible for sure. When you think of Cougar Nation and BYU TV and all of the last 12 years, there's been so much BYU on television. Outside of Oklahoma and Texas, you look around the Big 12, they don't have all that. And so I think if BYU is competitive and then gets to being highly competitive, I think they'd be right there. Oklahoma State is great in Stillwater. They're not a national buzz. BYU has the aspect of the church, which is a natural tie-in for interest and things like that. Obviously, you don't have to be a BYU fan to be a member of the church, but there's such a tie-in to that wherever you go around the world. And, you know, you throw in that aspect, and they really have been on ESPN probably more than any Big 12 team not named Texas or Oklahoma over the last 12 years. That has to amount for something. And David Nixon made an interesting point on an article I wrote a couple of weeks ago on, is BYU's current core of players in the NFL more impactful now than at any other season in the history of BYU putting players in the game? Not decades, but individual seasons. And the answer is probably yes. And Nixon made the comment that this is a result of independence. There's not one kid in the NFL that was in a conference at BYU, but they were on TV so much that they were noticed and they were good players and they got drafted and they're in the league. And I hadn't really thought about that because you think, I mean, independence was 12 years. I mean, that's a long time. There's no BYU guy in the NFL that was in the Mountain West Conference. They're all products of independence and all products of exposure and hype and all of that stuff. So, yeah, minus Texas and Oklahoma, who else would it be in the Big 12 that can rival the, let's just call it the PR machine that is BYU?
Dave McCann joining us from BYU TV. Dave giving us some insight into all things BYU. Every week we usually chat with Dave about something that's BYU related. So here we are again. I did want to know, you know, one of the things that kind of has come of this is that are players seeing the exposure that BYU gets when it comes to the TV side of things just in their time in independence? And then that helps make the decision for them when they come. I was looking at Aiden Robbins. He's the highest preseason guy on those preseason Big 12 teams, and he's a second teamer preseason for the Big 12, and we've never seen the guy take a snap at BYU. And he wouldn't have chosen BYU. I mean, he didn't choose BYU coming out of high school, but as a grad, as a transfer, this is the place for him.
You know, I talked to him about that, and what got him to BYU was Jamal Williams, Tyson Williams, and Tyler Algier all in the NFL right now. And Jamal with the most touchdowns last season, and Tyler with over 1,000 yards with the Falcons. And then he looks at BYU's offensive line, and their commitment to developing a running back and throwing to him out of the backfield is a slam dunk for him. Now that BYU had tried to recruit him back out of high school, and he went to Louisville, and so he decided to stay home. He's from back there, and then got his degree, which I'm most impressed with. While he was at Louisville, wasn't happy with his playing time, but turned around and got his, I think it was his business degree. And then he went to UNLV, rushed for 1,000 yards, and now he's here. But the fact that he's watched three Cougars go into the league, it's the same reason Keaton Slovis is here, because of Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall, not because of Steve Young and Jim McMahon. Jake Retzlaff, the junior college, number one quarterback out of junior college, came here. He told us the other day on Sports Nation that, hey, I was aware of BYU's history, but it's what they've done lately with the quarterbacks is why I am here. And that's Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall, and now in comes Keaton Slovis with 36 P5 games under his belt, which no BYU quarterback has ever had. And so, exposure, you got to be good, but you got to have exposure, and then you go in the NFL and right now the portal to the NFL really is the most important portal to all these kids. And BYU is benefiting by putting guys in the league. We've seen Utah do it for a long, long time. It matters, and it's reflected on, you know, the Etienne kid from Oklahoma State transferred to BYU. BYU's got an offensive line that's putting guys in the NFL. Blake Freeland, Brady Christensen, Kingsley's projected first round if he you know lives up to potential this year, and that's the portal everyone wants to be in. So if that portal's open, I think you can survive. You can survive through NIL. You can survive through a competitive conference. If the portal the NFL is open that attracts guys to your place, whether it's for a year, 3 years, or what. But if that portal's closed, and sometimes it has been for BYU, it's just hard to get guys. And we're seeing the portal open. And that's a big emphasis for Kalani.
Yeah, I was a little worried there for a minute. And I I'm glad you brought the conversation back to some recent quarterbacks, because I was worried Lavelle was going to turn over in his grave talking about BYU becoming running back you now instead of all the quarterbacks, Dave. That's almost, I don't know, he'd
it's
be upset
blaspheme.
By that.
It's yes. Football blaspheme.
But
listen, it's Kalani is what it is. Where did he spend a lot of time? There's a formula that works. Big offensive line, be able to run the football, and have a quarterback and spread it around.
But these guys also know who Aaron Roderick is. I mean, that's the thing, is they come in, and once they get to know who this kind of play calling savant is, on top of the fact that I think that Fessy Satake, I mean, that makes it sound like he hasn't put in the work either, because Aaron Roderick, at the beginning of his career, people looked at him and went, yeah, I don't think he's really got it. And then when he's been able to kind of do the stuff that he's been allowed to do at BYU, I mean, that duo of Fessy and A-Rod is tremendous for BYU. You could absolutely go, yeah, running back room's important, but, man, look at what you have passing game-wise, and that's still what BYU wants to do to be able to get big points.
You know, back in the day, it was all about team. And, you know, even go back to Little League, it was about your team, and you play hard, you go to the city tournament, and then you go to the state tournament. Those are all gone now. You play hard, and then the best players get picked up for All-Stars, and then they go to the tournament. But so much of sports, especially in college now, and enhanced by the portal and freedom to leave, is what's this doing for me? You know, am I going to come out there and get the football thrown to me? If not, somebody over here says I'm going to get the football thrown to me, and I could go over there. And the game has changed so much that that you're right. You got to have an Aaron Roderick to get quarterbacks, because they're all coming in to go, what can get me to the NFL? Not the whole team. The whole team's not going to the NFL, but what can get me there? Fessy with receivers, Harvey with running backs, and you know, Funk with the offensive line. Those guys, they go there and they go, hey, I can get to the NFL at left tackle at BYU because this guy did and this guy did. And now the NFL thinks we're just cranking them out. Man, that's so important. And Scott, you're right. There were times when BYU didn't have NFL caliber players. And so then it was hard to attract NFL caliber players. But once the Van Noys and Warner started showing up and getting in and making impacts in the league, then it was like all of a sudden BYU is at the table. And then you gotta keep producing them. And they're in a nice little run of doing that. Now in the Big 12, the competition goes up higher, but that's okay. If you're an NFL player, no matter what level of football you're in, the NFL finds you. But do you get more now because of Big 12 exposure? Dax Milne's in the NFL, ready for his third year, and it was because of a COVID year that he got the football a lot. It worked for him, so it wasn't really that they played the best teams. It was guys fast and catch. Same thing for Zach. You can make that case for Zach. You know, it's just this interesting cycle, but it does always come back now to, you know, with Scott, when you went into college, you wanted to play in the NFL. I don't know. I wasn't a quarterback, but did you just go there solely for what can you do to put me in the NFL? Or did you go there and go, I want to win with these guys and I want to someday beat BYU if I could and have this great collegiate experience and then go to the NFL. Today's guys just come in and go, hey, if I have a good year, I'm out. And it's changed the game.
I mean, I always thought I was good enough to play in the NFL, but I actually just prayed about it. And seriously, I know but that's really what it was more about.
Are you saying that just because Dave's on the show?
No, I'm not. This is a well-known story. But he asked the question, so I told him. I think what's going to happen to BYU, though, because this is an interesting conversation, but I think what happens, Dave, is you start playing against better competition, and it makes you better, and it attracts better competition to your team. So you're now every day in practice competing against better players, and it just helps in the development of the talent that you have in your program. And so it's the combination of every day practicing against better competition, playing in games consistently week in and week out against better competition, and you learn how to compete in at that level, and then you just continue to attract, you know, and you get two or three guys here, and then it's, you know, and then it evolves, and you get more and more, and when you put guys in the pros, and they start to see that there's a path there, and they can see that these players get developed when they're at BYU. That's where you just create this, which is what's happened at Utah, and it's gotten to a point now where, you know, Kyle Whittingham's seen his best 3 years of recruiting these last 3 years, but it's all those years of just slowly building and grinding, and that's how it evolves.
Well, and you go back to Alex, the question you posed to begin our visit: why are fans optimistic, having never played in a Big 12 game yet? Because they've signed 24 kids out of the portal who want to be here, who add strength to certain positions. So that's really BYU's first glimpse of, well, why would why would Aiden Robbins want to come here when he could go here, here, or here? Because BYU's in the Big 12. Next year, when he gets ready for his final year, it'll be, okay, he's been in the Big 12. He is or isn't as good as BYU thought. And now you know what you have moving forward. But right now, the optimism is, hey, look at these guys. Look where they've come from. Look what they've done. Look what they can add in this coaching staff and in this scheme, starting with the quarterback, that has people optimistic because these are players they haven't been able to get before, for the most part. And now that's starting to happen. And Scott, as you mentioned, it's happened a lot at the U for a while because they've been a P5 for a while. It's now starting to happen at BYU. So why wouldn't a fan be optimistic?
Dave McCann, BYU TV, always nice enough to join us on the show and always does a fantastic job, Dave. We'll hit you up again, and I'm still waiting on that golf invite down at Riverside. Just anytime you want, man.
You know, it's a standing invite, but you know you have to come down here. We're not moving the course up there.
No, you have to come down here. I'll
come
down. You know, I'm good to go. I'm good to go down to Provo. Thanks for being on with us, man. We always love chatting with you.
Thank you for the visit. See you guys.
There he is, Dave McCann. All right.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us on the program. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Did you see the ACC is actually looking at this model to reward success? What they're really talking about is revenue, Scott, being based off of, well, I mean, look, I will say this. Based off of basically your performance, the ACC Board of Directors has endorsed a new revenue distribution model that will reward success based on postseason performances. So your top-heavy conferences like the ACC, who have like a Clemson, you know, Florida State's kind of coming back around, those guys would get more money. And that might be a good way to sort of keep those dudes around maybe a little bit. I don't know. I mean, like, does it though?
They're stuck.
Yeah, they're stuck there.
Yeah, they're totally stuck.
We'll try to make it a little bit nicer for you. If you do well, which, by the way, this is the way it needs to be in every sport. I've preached my love for F1 before on this program. Let me tell you what they do though. If you finish at the top of the at the end of the year, if your team has the most points, because every team has two cars, so you have an individual champion, and then you have a team constructors title, what they call it. And if you're first in the constructors title, you win like $200 million. And if you're second, it's like 120. And it goes down. And the fighting between even 7, 6, 7, and 8 gets to be exciting. Because you're talking about millions of dollars being spread around. And so, you know what it does? Yeah, you're rewarded at the top, but you know what else happens? They should go even further and say, the real problem with it, though, Scott, is that the rich get richer in that sense. So Clemson gets rewarded with a bunch of money compared to Wake Forest, for example, who doesn't have a great year on the football field. And then guess what happens? Clemson continues to be successful, and they keep earning all that money. And then Wake Forest, for not getting their crap together, just keeps not getting very much money. So there's that give and take, and we don't have relegation, so that's kind of the way this works. But I like the idea of incentivizing teams at the top to do well and getting gigs and rewarding people for doing a fantastic job. That's what you're there for, man.
Yeah, I think with the length of the deal in the ACC and just kind of everything that's going on there, I think they have to. You have to feel sorry if you're Clemson. You have to feel sorry for the ACC. I mean, they're stuck in something that will be so obsolete. I mean, you could have these other conferences renew their media rights deals two or three times before they're done. And Clemson's been a really good program. And there's other schools, you know, potentially that could be like Florida State and Miami. And there's got to and plus I think it, you know, helps the conference because then you're incentivized to do well, and you're going to find every possible way that you can. You know, I don't know that every university really has an invested interest in doing like extremely well in football. I think they're like it's not as meaningful. So I like it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's played out in other conferences.
Well, what about in the NFL? Because that is also a thing where this is the highest level of that sport. And just like, you know, these racing teams, if they're the best, they get rewarded with more money. You've often talked about how these NFL teams are not really incentivized to be that good because the payout is still the billions of dollars that these teams are going to get. And so being really good
has to
be like a source of pride from the inside out rather than just, you know.
The problem in the NFL you would destroy these small market teams if they weren't able to just get equal revenue as it relates to the overall interest in the NFL and the TV money, and that you would have very few teams. You would always have the same teams winning all the time. They just said we're going to share the wealth. We're going to create a sport of parity. And that there's the possibility of everyone getting a chance to actually.
But there is always a franchise or two that are out there that just don't care how well they do because they know what the paycheck's going to look like.
Well, still. I know, but they still get. Well, yeah, but those franchises would be decimated. They'd be gone. It would be kind of over.
Yeah, I get it. All right. So,
that's always been.
Fine. Dumb idea. Hey.
Now, but what they
Jeremy,
do.
Scratch that out. I thought I had a good idea.
No, because they do that in the NFL. They actually have.
They'll pay the players if they're going far in the playoffs. That's one thing.
Well, revenue is only based off of ticket sales and TV money. So if these teams, that's why having a stadium, selling seat licensing, marketing other products, Jerry Jones in his, you know, Jerry World, he has big time deals with Pepsi and with other national brands. And he doesn't share that with anyone. So any of that outside money that they generate, you know, through I think even suites might be non-included revenue. So it's just basic seats. So they can sell their luxury seats and things like that. That stuff they don't have to share.
Hey, let's chat real quick about this this transfer portal camp situation. I don't think we're giving enough attention to this thing. BYU, among a bunch of other groups of people who are trying to other teams across the country. Now, there's a weird line here because it almost just sounds totally like it's illegal. Like, this sounds like something you could get in trouble for. If you go over to KSLSports.com, Mitch Harper has an article written up about these transfer portal camps for postgraduate athletes. Now, I think the way you can get away with it is because they are postgraduate. Now, I know it's high school graduate. Now, see, this is I don't get.
It covers anyone who potentially could be in the transfer portal or someone at a junior college.
This is brilliant if it works because...
Kids out of high school are going to be signed somewhere. Like
right.
If they're going to play.
If you're floating out there as a quote-unquote college free agent in the new transfer portal and you come out and you pay the $50 to be at BYU's camps that are now from June 5th to the 7th and June 12th to 14th, I guarantee... I would be shocked if they don't find a couple of guys they don't love.
Well, what you find is, you know, it's just giving everyone a chance to have a more sure understanding of what's going on. I mean, you see guys transfer from colleges and you have film on them from college and maybe you have film from high school to college. And so you get some idea, but to actually go work them out, quite frankly, they should do this with high school kids even. And I know they have camps and they actually bring the kids into school that are in high school and they get a pretty good look at
them. The ones they're interested in, right?
Yeah, they get a pretty good look. And it's smart to go around and do it. It's smart if you're in the transfer portal to go, because it kind of cuts both ways. You get a chance to see how these guys coach. You get to be around them a little bit and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it's
You want to hear the dirty side?
I love it.
You want to hear the dirty side of the transfer portal?
Is there a dirty side?
Yeah, here it is. 2021 and 2022, 39% of transfer portal guys didn't actually go to another school, to an NCAA school.
But, you know, a lot of these guys.
That's 40% of the guys go in there, and I guarantee that 40% were like, dude, NC State's going to want me. Fine, I'll go somewhere they want me. And then they get in there, and there's not a place for them.
I'll bet if you went on everybody's roster and you probably said, yeah, there might be 30 or 40% of our roster that's not capable of playing college football. They just didn't pan out.
They sign them out of high school. They're taking up a scholarship. That sounds so terrible. Boy, that kid's taking up a scholarship. Get rid of him. But they have those conversations.
And they go, look, you're not going to play here. And so you might as well go somewhere where you got a chance to play.
What if you're BYU and you invite some of your own guys to participate in that camp? And then by the end, you just kind of reshuffle things. That sounds mean, but like, well, the reality is their team, they know what they have with a lot of these
guys. Yeah, I don't think they'd want to get their own guys.
Yeah. I just think it's pretty interesting. They're hosting a 7-on-7 tournament as well called the Royal Clash. Hey, hold on a minute. That's probably trademarked as some I feel like that's a cell phone game. They're going to get beat up by the Royal Clash. I think I get ads for that on my phone.
You mean Clash Royale?
Okay.
Me and my kid play, so I know.
Oh, okay. It is called Clash Royale. All right. There you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do, we're going to jump in here to a couple of other conversations. Chris Sims is now ranking his top 40 quarterbacks. You might be thinking to yourself, why do we care what Chris Sims says? Well, he's got a real mixed history of being able to call these guys who are going to be really good in the NFL. But we'll see. We'll look at that next. Hey, by the way, we got some tickets. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Oh, yeah, this is a good one, too. Caller number 12 right now. This is right now, right, Jer? Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. What are you winning? A pair of tickets to see Sam Smith at Vivint Arena on August 19th. That's a great show. Caller number 12 right now gets a pair of tickets to Sam Smith at Vivint Arena. Although on August 19th, it's going to be the Delta Center, yeah? Oh, yeah. We'll call it the Delta Center then, all right? Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE at the Delta Center to see Sam Smith. Okay, we'll come back. More to go around the corner, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And now, a look at traffic from the...
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's Unrivaled, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and of course, the opinions of Chris Sims. What would we do without them? Go to KSLSports.com right now, and you can read a Kyle Ireland article. Kyle, of course, covering the NFL on KSLSports.com. Chris Sims, hit and miss on the on his predictions of quarterbacks, right? He was in the league for a hot minute, 6 years in the NFL. And I will give you his quarterback countdown that he's not totally through yet. But this is the best quarterbacks in, just like through the current top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL, okay?
Whether they're a starter or backup.
Starter or not, okay?
He's got the young guys in here.
He does. Including Tyler Huntley, who comes in at 29, and including Jordan Love, who comes in at 31. Now, unproven is a Jordan Love, right? Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowl, right? That's all you need to know about Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler. Why would you put him so low after being in the Pro Bowl last year? That just shows you how much of a joke that the Pro Bowl kind of was, because that's not. I'm not saying that to rip on Tyler Huntley. I'm saying it because there are guys on this list that you look at and you go, my goodness, Andy Dalton's 28, Sam Darnold's 27, Brock Purdy's 26, Kenny Pickett's 25. Now, what's interesting about this list is, and you tell me if I'm missing something here, But Zach Wilson hasn't shown up yet as he rolls out the rest of these. So he's to his 25. So 24 through 1 is where Zach Wilson is going to be. Or not.
Or not.
Now, this is a guy who...
He was high on Zach
he
Wilson.
He was high before, on Zach Wilson. The, do you think that he'll have the guts to put him at like 23 or 20, 22 and be like, I still think he's got it? Because honestly, Anthony Richardson's on the list at 36. He's got to have Zach Wilson in his top 24, right? Because the rest of these guys are second and third string dudes or brand new rookies. I mean, Desmond Ridder's number 40. And he thinks a lot more about Zach Wilson than he does about... Oh, you do have enough? Oh, we got this. Hit the breaking news. Come on now, Jerry. You got an actual update?
Well, this was... Kyle wrote this a couple days ago, so Chris has been rolling these out every couple of days.
Okay, so what do we have today? They rolled it out today.
We're up to number 20. No Zach Wilson.
Okay.
So he's not in the top
Davis
40.
Davis Mills, obviously 30, above Zach Wilson. So where did we stop at? Let's see. Kenny Pickett, 25. Baker Mayfield, 24. Baker?
Wow.
23, Justin Fields. Jimmy G, 22. Tua, 21. Mac Jones, 20.
Okay, so he's got to not be in the top 20. Then.
Well, he'd be 15 probably.
I mean, but don't rule anything
Garoppolo's
out.
Garoppolo's better than
of course he
any
is.
Of those
Garoppolo's than, better than this than being in the... What was Garoppolo, 21?
Mac Jones.
22.
22 is Garoppolo? I'm Mac, telling you right now, that's a dumb... That's an insult.
Mac Jones, 20?
That Mac Jones being at 20 is upsetting. But what's upsetting on this list is that Zach Wilson... has won more games than he's lost in his career.
There's also another former Jet, Sam Darnold. Did you see him at 27?
Sam Darnold is at 27. Is he with the who's he with now?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. That's right.
He could be day one starter.
That's right. He's there showing Trey Lance the ropes, giving him a new throwing motion, and waiting to see if Brock Purdy. Where was Purdy on the list though? Because Purdy was on the list too. 26. This is insane to me. Watch Chris Sims freaking roll out Zach Wilson at 17. You freaking watch it. No, you can't do that, right?
I'm just trying to figure out what he's basing all of his...
I have no clue.
It's just...
What's
it's kind
the metric
of all over,
here?
All over the board, is it, you know...
How is Anthony Richardson rated higher than Desmond Ridder? He's never seen a freaking NFL field before.
Yeah, but they think he's kind of a talent. Like you can't tell me... that Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, you're telling me that Jared Stidham is better than those guys right now? Or Davis Miles is better than those
how you
guys?
You always call him Davis Miles. Davis Mills,
respect.
How dare you?
I can't see. It looks like there's an eye in there. So
it just works for
I
the
I don't really say anything positive anyway. So
no, it's going to be – this actually works for the point we're making, which is we forget about Davis Mills quite
often. I don't even know how you can rate – the draft picks
the rookies
right now. You
absolutely
can't
not
you can't rate them you
throw
can't
them out
them. Can't rate them in the NFL right now
so he's just, talking 40 quarterback you're talking the 30 is it 30 franchises or 32 how many teams are in the NFL 32 teams
why don't you go 64 and rate the starters and the backups rate all the starters on one and then rate the backups
yes
and do it that way this is a weird list
this is a May list for sure because the next month they're going to get this they do the combined quarterback room rankings too. They'll do the one where they go,
oh, geez.
Right. Because that's the thing. Is like, the quarterback room, what does that mean? Like,
what
honestly,
it means is,
think
is
about
if your starter goes down, you're screwed no matter what.
Right.
So what's the point?
Because
what is the room?
The quarterback,
so dumb.
The quarterback room of the Jets is Aaron Rodgers.
That's rated by someone who is a backup quarterback. I just want to have some relevance.
That's it.
Chase Daniel was in charge of that list.
The quarterback room is only the starter. That's it. Don't do anything else for me. All right. So there's your list. Let's jump out here before we take another break. Because around the corner we do, I'm going to bring up something that was said on DJ and PK's show today. And Barry Trammell talking about the possibility of teams moving from the Pac-12 to the Big 12 has just flamed fire that probably didn't exist before, or at least it didn't feel like it had any legs. But here we are in May. Going off of what one guy may have said somewhere in the South region of the United States that had to do with some Pac-12 teams thinking about going to the Big 12. We'll play those comments for you from Barry Trammell that you heard on DJ and PK. Coming up, stay with us. Before we do, though, Ethan Millard from Teton Wealth Group joining us in the studios
today.
Yes,
sir.
75 KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City, and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvale. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for being a part of the show. You can always download the KSL Sports app wherever the wherever you have a phone, which is probably in your hand or in your pocket. So here's my deal. Man, this show's just flying by, isn't it? Hey, gosh darn it. Jeremy, will you approve my sign-in request for me? That'd be great.
I don't think I have that authority.
You don't?
Sorry.
See, that's the thing. I've been in this building so freaking long, and I just typed in this dumb number that it wanted, and it still said request denied. Who are these people?
Well, maybe you got to talk to somebody about that.
Oh, boy. My key card's not working either. Oh, boy. No, I'm just trying to sign in my dang email.
Mine probably after today won't work.
Oh, my gosh. Sign in request. Come on. Yes, I approve it. It's me. If you say it's me, that's what the terrorists are going to say too. They're going to say they're me. All right. Well, so I don't know. Because on one side it says it's been denied, and on the other side it said it got authenticated. So. Can't check my email. That's fine. All right. Let's jump into the show here. We got a little chunk of something I want you to hear from DJ and PK's show today. Barry Trammell, who covers college football and, would you call this keeping your ear to the ground, or would you say having the satellites? You know when they listen for radio frequencies in space? This is what Barry Trammell's doing when it comes to rumors in the Big 12 and in the Pac-12. And let's jump in, though, with the cut, as we usually do at the top of the hour here. Let's go.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut presented by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. G2G Bar, tastes fantastic. And Trajan Wealth, TrajanWealth.com. Bringing you this hour as well. Scott, Barry Trammell had these things to say, and I wanted to. It's about a 3-minute-ish. DJ and PK were asking him about an article that he had written up about someone within the Big 12 family who had mentioned something about some schools in the Pac-12. Here's how it rolled out for Barry Trammell. Take a listen.
My impression is Arizona might be the most interested of the Pac-12 teams, the schools, in potential Big 12 membership. But I could be wrong about that. That's just my impression from a variety of things I've been told. But anyway, when a coach said Colorado, I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But and I knew this was not long after Brett Yormark had met with the coaches throughout the league. So I'm sure this came from Brett Yormark. And I also know Brett Yormark's playing a game. He's playing a negotiating game, and he's trying to turn up fire on the Pac-12 and its members. And so I know nothing is either set in stone or nothing is even actually truth necessarily. It's all sort of mystical right now. But then, so I sat on that for several days. This actually happened last week. Then I saw the stuff that came out Monday, particularly from Washington State with Kirk Schultz and the budgetary problems and the mess at the Pac-12 office. And the more news coming out about the Pac-12 negotiating the television, and here's the thing, we've been hearing about the Pac-12 media deal for 6 months, really. And 6 months ago when they said, you know, it's not critical. You know, we haven't reached do or die time. And all that was true. But you know what? We're getting close to do or die time. We're getting close to something's got to give. The contract's up, and now it's 13 months. San Diego State's got that huge buyout that goes up if it goes, you know, past a certain deadline. So all kinds of things are percolating. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know if it's true, but I know he told me that. So I'm just going to let people know what the coach told me in the context of all this other stuff. So, you know, I don't know if Colorado's coming, but I know that Colorado has all kinds of budgetary problems. And when you hear that the Pac-12 television contract potentially could be far less than what they're hoping for, then it certainly makes sense. Particularly, Colorado at least knows what it's getting into for. You know, I mean, they've been in the Big 12. They've been with Kansas and Kansas State and Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Those four they were in the league with them for more than 50 years, in a league with Baylor and Tech and just Baylor and Tech. I'm trying to think of who else. Baylor and Tech, since 1996, they were 25 years with them. On some level, Colorado probably has more comfort at making this move if they should decide to do it. So it's in some level it makes sense that they might be first.
Did Barry Trammell ghostwrite O.J. Simpson's book? If I were to have killed somebody.
Here's what I think is going on, okay? When you get in trouble, like the police want to interrogate you.
Yeah.
And they think you've perpetrated a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done it with others, right? So they separate you.
Yeah, they get everybody there, and then they go, get this guy over here,
Separate everyone else. And so they want someone to sit there and contemplate, what are the other people saying? What are they doing? What are they thinking? And I believe that this is a tactic that I think the Big 12 they're implementing. I was going to say imploding. They're implementing. And they just want to see if they can find a weak person that's freaking out right now, and they feel isolated, and they're like, I know someone's going to leave. Look, USC, UCLA, they left. They just up and left. No one knew about it. And if they can create some chaos or some cracks in the dam of the weaker links, and they just get someone to move, someone to budge, someone to do something. So they just flood the airwaves with just all kinds of crazy stories. You know, this guy said this, and this school's not happy. I mean, you're listening to Barry Trammell go over all these possible scenarios, and
Arizona, maybe it's Colorado. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and so they just so now all these schools are like, okay, what's going on? You guys talking to them? But I think what the Pac-12's done a good job of, I want to believe this, is they've said, look, we all need to be together. We need a lot of communication here. We need to be on board. We need to have our story straight to everyone, and everyone needs to hold pat. This is all going to work out. We're going to be better together. We're going to get a deal done, a strong deal done. And I think that's what's happening, because Brett, your mark knows that if you have more games, you're going to get more revenue. And if you have all four time zones or three time, whatever time zones there are in the United States, that it just means your conference is going to be on television all day long. And it's just massive exposure. So Brett Yormark is trying to manipulate that fourth conference, that fourth time zone, that West Coast time zone, as best that he possibly can, and looking at any possible scenario to do it. And all these universities are going, are we in good spot? You know, maybe we need to consider this. Maybe we should reach out and talk to them. And that's all he wants to do. He just wants to get the schools on the phone and have the conversation.
Right.
And then see what they can do about it.
I think that it's relatively irresponsible for a columnist to go. Now, is it true? Is it even close to true? I don't know. But you know what? An unnamed coach said something about it, and Jeremy and I were talking about this before the show. It's like, I mean, if if there were sources out there, you would think, hey, coach is pretty close to this. But the thing is these coaches are like, one, they don't have anything to do with the negotiations.
No.
Their administration is purposely keeping them out of the loop because they have a different job to do.
Yeah.
And so when a coach from the Big 12 goes, you know Colorado's next, right? It's like, well, what? What are you talking about? Next to what? They're going to bail from the Pac-12, but when are you talking about? What are you talking about? And then it's like, well, and then he goes even further to go, and I think Arizona's actually a better, that's an even more interesting situation. It's like, in this 15 minutes, he'll jump on and say, hey, man, this is how big of a deal it is. These two schools could come to the Big 12. They could leave the Pac-12 and come to the Big 12. Well, where are your sources? I got a guy. But, you know, how you just kind of hear stuff sometimes may or may not be true, and that's kind of what we're looking at here. It's crazy.
Well, when you talk about a coach, there's only going to be one or two coaches at a school. You're going to talk to the head football coach and probably the head basketball coach. I mean, you're not going to be talking to the wide receiver coach or the defensive line coach, and that guy's not going to know. They're not going to know what the programs they'll be the last to know. Any assistant coach is going to be the last to know. And I'm sure the head coach, if he knows, probably is under, like, I'm just assuming that they go, okay, yeah, we're going to leave, but this has to be absolute hush-hush. No, you know, because no one knew about USC and UCLA leaving. And I'm sure that the other schools in the conference would be furious if someone was even having a conversation with another school about potentially joining their conference. Does their contract and their as a conference, are they even allowed to have discussions about leaving the conference? I mean, why would you not put that in your incorporation documents?
Where on earth does a coach get that info anyway?
You'd get it from, I guess, the athletic director.
But I'm in the Big 12. Let's say I'm in the Big 12. Where do I get that information from? Do I get it from another coach in the Pac-12 from Colorado?
I think he was referring to a coach at Colorado.
No, it was a coach in the Big 12. Jeremy, did I hear that wrong? Was it a coach in the Big 12 who told him that Colorado's the quote-unquote next one?
I heard he just said a coach.
I thought it was a coach from Colorado.
Either way,
they're next to go.
Yeah, and listen, if it's a coach from Colorado,
either way, yeah, right.
Then you go, those guys operate in the margins as it is. Like they operate on a weird plane of like. Fact or fiction to drive up any kind of conversation at all, probably, to be able to make their case more special. I assumed he was talking about a Big 12 coach had said Colorado's coming next. I wonder if
Coach Prime maybe goes, look, once Texas, Oklahoma leave the Big 12, we could certainly position ourselves, if we got our act together, as one of the top teams in this conference. And so maybe he is interested.
It's weird. It's wild stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm looking at.
I think all the speculation has more to do with trying to get a weak link, one of these schools to get nervous and to bolt, and they just want someone to just run out, and then they're going to get caught, and that's what I think the Big 12 is trying to do.
Okay. I think that for sure there is nobody safe. I do think that we're in the Wild West. We've officially kind of gotten to the point where anything could happen in all these. And if there's a place where you can have some movement, he brought up the Washington State thing as kind of a reason the Pac-12 might be on some weird footing, because they talked about how their revenue was just so, it had dipped so much that they just couldn't. What were some of the things that they're not able to do? It's just like they're going to have to cut a lot of stuff. They're going to have to lay off some people inside athletics and blah, blah, blah. I think that's a Washington State deal more than it is a Pac-12 deal. Washington State's going to have a lawsuit. At least they're going to have Nick Rolovich coming back into town and with a suit on in a courtroom.
But is that an athletic program issue, or is it the university
issue? It'll end up being a university issue. And yeah. I'm just saying that, like, they've got other things going on that make them nervous.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's about the Pac-12 being on solid footing or not. Because what did they put the financials out as? After everything, they were $37-ish million a year, all the Pac-12 programs this last year, after everything.
Yeah.
If they came out today and said their media deal was $37 million, everyone would be pretty freaking happy, I think.
Yeah.
Right? And so that would be a jump up. It'd be 20-ish percent more than what
kind of what they thought it might be. And then with all the payout stuff, they get somewhere close to $50 million.
Right.
So
that's the part where I look at it and I go, I don't know why everybody's freaking out right now. And Trammell brought up something that we have also asked the same question of, which is, we've been told, hey, it's coming down soon. But at this point now, we're looking on a couple months of soon being passed and gone. And 6 months of being told, yeah, they're close. And at the very least, you have a perception issue. And until that perception issue turns into what reality is, perception is reality, right? That's something you taught me, Scott. Whatever people are seeing right now, that's kind of what their thought is about the Pac-12. Whether or not it's true, that's one thing. But as soon as an actual deal gets done, you're going to have people bouncing back and forth with suppositions and their weird thoughts on how this thing is or is not going to go. And Barry Trammell is not going to be the guy who's going to roll out all the details on this, right? I mean, in the end, the Pac-12 is going to go, here's our deal. So I'm still one of those guys that thinks the Pac-12 deal is actually going to be more than what you would have thought. So
yeah, and I do too. I actually think it's going to be a good deal, and I just wonder though if there is a program that's gonna crack.
I kind of hope that it is for the sake of like temporary stability, at least. You know what I mean?
Like, around college football,
And around what we cover, right? Yeah. It's like the last thing we want is for Utah to be in a conference that gets blown up, and then everybody's looking around going, "Sheesh, man, now what?" You don't want there to be a disaster.
No,
because this is the golden age of college football in this state. Okay. Other people are not saying that. We are, because this is the best football we've ever had at the collegiate level inside this state in terms of exposure, in terms of big programs, in terms of the biggest conference affiliations you can have. And it's all down to how hard these guys have worked. And if somebody blows this thing up with the Pac-12 going somewhere or all these teams leaving and adding a bunch of teams that are not worthy of a P5, you know, invite, then that's a bummer. And that's bad. It's bad for football in this state that we've worked so freaking hard for, right? And these coaches have. Recruiting is just now starting to be a big deal here in the state of Utah. In comparison, right? Think about how hard it was to get guys out of Utah that were talented to get a look somewhere else back in the day. And now it's the opposite. Utah is a hotbed per capita for talent.
Yeah, I still feel it'll work itself out the right way, and at least in the short term. And I think there's probably big changes even moving forward with college football, just in general, not just with the Pac-12, but, you know, probably in a lot of these conferences.
Okay, listen, registration's now open for the Larry H. Miller Utah Summer Games in Cedar City. Join nearly 10,000 athletes of all ages and abilities competing over 40 events this June. You can register now at utahsummergames.org. That's utahsummergames.org.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
What is that?
And the other guy. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, other guy here. Thanks for being with us on the program. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. It is unrivaled on the program. That music means, of course, the NFL Roundup. We've already chatted about a couple NFL things, but Scott, as we've pointed out before, the NFL's importance knows no bounds in the world of sports here in America, right? And kind of that's where we're at here.
Yeah, you might argue it's the religion of our country.
You could argue that.
Yeah. And you wouldn't be wrong.
There's a lot more people attending
that church
right on Sundays,
right? That's what it is, but right. it is what it is, and it's probably the thing folks worship most.
It's a Sabbath activity for some.
I mean, the highest rated program on all of television is Sunday Night Football. All of television,
yeah.
Every program, every streaming service, regular terrestrial signal, just normal cable,
you know,
I'd say it's
satellite, all of it.
Terrestrial signals, telestial, all sorts.
Yeah, all those others are in outer darkness, outer darkness.
Hey, so the two things that stood out to me, one of the things that I saw was, why not just start the ball at the 25? You brought it up a little bit earlier, and we were talking. It made me think about what we were talking about with the folks at Ute Conference this week when we were speaking with Jeff about, like their women's league that they're doing. They're like, we're just bagging it.
Yeah.
And frankly, what is the thing that we like the most? I like to just get to it, right? I don't like the kicking game can be eliminated, and I think we'd be okay with it.
So, as a player,
yes,
you're waiting on the sideline for the kickoff, right? And you know anything could happen. And you're sitting there going, please get a good return. I don't want to start the ball on the 5-yard line,
right.
But please get. So there's that anxiety. Then there's the anxiety when you're on the other side of it, like make sure you tackle them. Like don't let them return a kick for a touchdown. And that's your anxiety as a player, right? You're just like, you know, come on, show your – because most of the guys on those are the backups, right? They're the guys that – don't have as much invested that, you know, they, you know, who knows how often they're out partying,
right.
You know, or do they really understand their assignments? Are they really going to give a good effort? So there's always this anxiety. But on the other side of it, man, kickoffs are to me are exciting, right? There's nothing like the adrenaline of the game starting. And that, I mean, the first kickoff of the season, my goodness, there's nothing that's just more exciting. So I'm sitting here going, well, how are you going to get pumped up, you know? And I guess it's a safe bet to just know, okay, we're always starting on 25-yard line. Like that's not all that to me isn't a bad thing. But it certainly takes away a whole lot of potential excitement, takes away a whole lot of potential anxiety.
Well, think about it.
And so I mean it's kind of like, okay, we just know we'll just go on the field. I mean,
okay,
I think we're just so used to it being a tradition in the game. We're going, eh. But I really think if they just put the ball in the – you score a touchdown, you put the ball in the 25-yard line, and off we go.
Well, let me further your point, and it's only going to bring up the importance of quarterbacks. So you'll like my point. The most – it's not just the backups that you're talking about, but the best players on the field aren't there.
Like, right.
So that's the part too. Now let me also play devil's advocate to the kicking game being a crucial part of our world in football by saying, hey, these are extra roster spots that could be spent on even more talent.
Right. See, that's the other thing I thought about too.
You have all this you have all this talent that's sitting around. You out of those 53 men on the roster, there's a long snapper on there. I don't know. There's probably not a backup long snapper on there, is there? I don't know how. I don't even know how deep they could go with that. But you think about, yeah,
you probably have a guy that's, you know, that does it, but he's, you know, he's
he did it in college, but yeah, he's like, or, but he's actually, you know, an outside linebacker,
right?
Right. Yeah. So, but you're right. I mean, most of the time, all they do is just try to fill those gaps with guys that are the backup guards and, you know, things to that, backup linebackers, things like that. They get their shot. So I don't know. I'm not totally off of special teams, but like I'm closer every day to just being like, let's just bag it, really. When you think about it, I have no beef with Adam Vinatieri. I have no beef with, you know, these kickoff. Look, we look at it and we go, Matt Gay, man, what an awesome story. But do you want to build around the game with that? Should we emphasize more the impact of – and again, not to be the poo-pooer either. It's the most dangerous playing football, kick returns.
So if you had – you know, why not get rid of the punting too?
What do you do? Just throw it?
No, you just say you're going to punt the ball and it's going to be 40 yards.
It's 40 yards the other direction.
It's just 40 yards.
You know what it does? Saves time. That's the next iteration of football.
It's just 40 yards.
It's their pitch clock. Because really, that's what a punt is. It's just a waste of time.
Here's another thing. I mean, if you want to, it's the amount of time in practice that you spend on special teams every day. Like, you could just eliminate, like, 90% of that.
Well, and because it's such a specialty thing, you kind of have to do it more than you'd want to
as
a coach, right?
Yeah. So you're cutting down, you're saving bodies, you know, the where – I mean, believe me, standing out there in practice waiting for the special teams
draft
or those
picks don't get wasted.
No,
all that.
You it's not a bad idea. Just say, yeah, it's 40 yards, change of possession,
and it's not a gimmick. It's the fact that this is what this is the stuff people tune into, and I think we would get way more. And I do think that like a missed field goal is fun, but it is weird at the end of a game when Patrick Mahomes
You want to kick field goals.
Yeah, and I think, but even then,
because field goals are your offense and your defense,
and
anyways.
It's points.
So it's not, yeah. It's,
but there is like that part of me too that
you want to kick field goals.
It is weird when like all the good players walk off the field and you leave it to the guy with the
what
the flimsy shoulder pads.
I mean, okay, look at Matt Gay. Like, I mean, does his position almost become? I mean, all you got to have is someone who just can kick field goals. That's it. You don't need a kickoff guy. You don't need any of that.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it. Now, this is one I wanted to bring up real quick before we get out.
I actually like this idea.
I know. It's kind of gotten more. Now, let me bring this one up. Patrick Mahomes, did you read his thing about his reaction to people asking him about should you be the highest paid quarterback?
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a measured response. I thought it was right down the middle of not being like a, you're darn right I deserve the most money. Everyone knows where Patrick Mahomes, including Patrick Mahomes, knows where he stands. And he goes, look, I want to take care of myself. He goes, but also it's important for me to be on top of the market in terms of like whether or not it's a good thing for me. He said we're in constant communication. That's in reference, I think, to the offices at the Chiefs, and he may be renegotiating his deal, and he would deserve it. But he's like, look, if I start to go, hey, man, I'm going to start taking pay cuts, you know, a la Tom Brady, or if I, as the best quarterback in the league, stay at $40 million a year while everybody else starts trying to move past it. By the way, no one will move that far past it, very far past him when the best player isn't getting paid that much. His whole thing was, I'm kind of looking out for other quarterbacks too because we want to kind of continue to push that market.
Yeah.
I'm looking out for these. And it makes sense. And he said, look, I'm set for life with the money. That's fine. But we have to kind of create a system here where I want to look out for me for sure. I want to look out for the guys who are around me. I'm nothing without these dudes around me. But also, we got to make sure the market moves forward for those other guys who are also trying to get deals done.
The Kansas City Chiefs been in the AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, pretty much the time.
Five or six in a row? Five in a row.
Since Patrick Mahomes has been playing. And a lot of that is due to the way his contract was structured because they could go out and they could sign free agents. They had some choices of guys that they had to make, you know, like Tyreek Hill. But they've been able to get some pieces that have helped them. And it maybe is a defensive player or some offensive lineman. And the way his deal was structured, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But it's because it could go out so long.
And it's a lot of money. And it's also a lot of money for him, a lot of guaranteed money too. But it's not the biggest contract. And certainly you pointed it out as soon as it happened. It was like, this will be obsolete in 5 years. It took less than that even, it seemed like.
And I think Joe Burrow is running through the same thing because all these guys realize if I break the bank, we're broken as a team. I mean, we're going to have to make some hard choices, and it makes it extremely challenging. There's got to be – and this is what, you know, I really don't understand in the NFL and all of this is there's got to be a way – to balance, you know, maybe having one player exception to the salary cap or something where.
What do you mean?
Well, like these because the quarterbacks just demand so much money.
It screws up so much of it.
And it really impacts everything else. And if you're a fan of the NFL, you want to see Patrick Mahomes, who's really good, play really well and be on good teams. I want to see that.
For a long time.
For a long time. You don't want to watch Patrick Mahomes get a lot of money and get the crap kicked out of him every week. No one wants to see that.
And then everybody off that really good team is gone.
So there needs to be some exception. You know, they have a franchise clause in there to protect owners from, you know, not letting their so-called marquee player get away. But fans want to be able to see good teams stay good teams, you know, a little bit longer. Than they do. And so maybe there's a one player exception to the salary cap or some way that you can still be competitive and still also get paid.
I saw somebody put out on Twitter the other day, they go, hey, the new Quaker Oats guy has passed away now, the diabetes guy. What was his name? Diabetes. The guy who looks like Andy Reid, but he's on all those 80s and 70s sitcoms. What's his name?
Quaker Oats?
Yeah, he did Quaker Oats for a long time, too. This guy, what the heck is his name?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember. I can't. Either way, people are probably yelling it out, but either way, but people are like, hey, now that he's passed, can we get, oh, Wilford Brimley.
Well, Wilford Brimley?
I don't know why.
Why did you say, like, the natural?
The Utah guy. Yeah, he's born in St. George. He died in St. George.
Yeah. Lived in Lehigh forever.
Forever. So, Wilford Brimley, people are saying, hey, this is a natural fit. Guy who has ties to the state of Utah also, Andy Reid. Put him on the Quaker, deal.
He's a new Wilford Brimley.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
People are trying to make that push. I go, I don't think he's, like, into that. But who knows?
Maybe I mean, he certainly looks like a relative.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's spitting image, but he's close.
No, but like he would be cast in the movie.
Apparently, Wilford Brimley was kind of a grumpy dude.
He looked like it. What, yeah. Why would that surprise anybody?
He seems like this lovable, like he just
right.
kind of your grandpa kind of guy.
He also like the guy that would shoot at the mailman if he was too close right, to on yeah. the property kind of guy.
Yeah. If you watched him in The Firm,
yes.
He was not a nice man in
no.
The Firm. Yeah.
No, I
but
forgot
natural,
about that
the
role.
The Natural was.
Yeah, he was the manager.
Yeah.
He was the Knights manager. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have our two-minute drill around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Scott's going to roll out some stories for us. And more right here at 97.5. And more right here at 97.5.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome on into the show. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. And, of course, that music there, you know, that means only one thing, and that's called the two-minute drill, where we, like in football, when you don't have a lot of time, you got to hurry. You're trying mm-hmm. to score a touchdown, kick a field goal. We do the same thing. We still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of those things. And go home very, very happy because we all get participation trophies these days and we don't offend anyone. Apparently, Nick Saban was pestered by an opposing SEC fan during his European vacation.
Well, if you're Nick Saban, you don't have a lot of friends outside of Alabama, right?
No. I'm not sure Nick Saban has a lot of friends.
Inside of Alabama?
Yeah.
That could be the case. But... yesterday we heard we heard tale of all the people that have come up to him in Italy yeah. that are Alabama fans.
Right.
And people who are like, oh, he's in Italy and so are we. If I see Nick Saban tomorrow, this is an LSU fan speaking right. probably. If I see Nick Saban tomorrow at the Statue of David, I am yelling out. I'm gonna yell some obscenities across the museum here.
So Don Shula went on vacation after he'd won back-to-back 17-0.
Yeah.
And they were at Martha's Vineyard. They decided to go to a movie. So it was the middle of the day. They go to this matinee. He shows up with all his kids, his wife. He's got four or five kids. And his
Martha's
wife.
Vineyard. This is Jets territory.
Yeah.
Jets, Patriots.
So he gets into the movie theater, and there's just a few people because it's a matinee in the
right.
afternoon. And all of a sudden, everyone starts clapping. And he stands up, and he's kind of doing the
doing the wave.
I'm Don Shula
That's
wave.
That's pretty cool.
And someone yells out, we're so glad you showed up. If we didn't have any more people, they were going to cancel the movie. So he goes, no one knew who I was.
They just were glad that a couple
glad
other people walked in.
Seven people showed up.
My question is, how did he see a movie with those transition lenses he was always wearing?
The transition lenses.
They weren't even transition lenses. They were just dark.
Yeah.
They were just dark. Gradient down to a little bit lighter.
Coach Shula, man, he had his style.
He was intimidating.
I'm telling you,
man.
He had his style. It was something else.
He rocked the gold chains, man. He didn't even mind.
It's hard to be a celebrity and go on vacation.
Hey, so Shaq was actually served papers.
Oh.
Apparently he's involved somehow in the old FTX cryptocurrency situation.
Oh, boy.
To the tune of him being subpoenaed. Now, he was avoiding being served by basically just never going out of his house
right.
without... I mean,
how do you ever get to Shaq? I mean,
right. I mean, he's already a massive celebrity, and so he can just kind of, he knows all the ways of dodging human beings.
Yes.
But TNT was outdoors during their broadcast
Ouch.
Last night, and he got served during their broadcast. How amazing is that? I freaking love that story. Now, what's going to happen from the court date? No idea, but I just love that somebody goes, Shaq, is that you? And he's like, yeah, man. And he goes, you've been served. I love it. All right.
I think Charles would have a good time with that one.
For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We'll be back around the corner. More to go right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ethan Millard from Teton Wealth Group joining us in the studios
today.
Yes,
sir.
Ethan, what's up, dude? You're trying to help people. You're guiding people to some retirement situations here. So you're kind of, this is a higher calling situation. So how can we get people on that path then for you?
You know, I'm glad you called it a higher calling because one of the things that I've loved about this industry is that I'm surprised at how helpful I feel. We can often do a lot in just a little short period of time. A lot to get people onto just a better financial system, get them a little more confident. And so let me tell you what I got right now for unrivaled listeners. We want to offer you the Ascent Plan. The Ascent Plan is our proprietary process at Teton Wealth Group. We developed it to serve our client families. And the Ascent Plan tackles the five key areas in your retirement. And frankly, if you're looking forward to financial independence at any time, whether it's in your 60s, 50s, 40s, whenever, you got to have these five things handled. And then you can do it. You can be financially independent. You got to have a plan independent. You got to have a plan for your income, for your investments, your taxes, your health care, and your legacy and estate, your larger family. So give us a call right now, 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. We'll do a full Ascent plan for you at no cost and no obligation. This is the same Ascent plan that we do for our client families where we walk through and make meaningful decisions on how to get them ready to live the life they've always wanted, to go beyond what they thought was possible. We want that for you too. 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. And if you are like so many, you are probably so worried about some of the things that you see out there. Inflation, market downturn, the specter of future tax increases. There's so much out there, so much insecurity, but we can get you on a stronger path so that you can live with purpose and be financially secure. 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. We'll walk you through the full Ascent plan. It's going to be meaningful to you. We're going to give it to you in writing. You're going to get some specific tasks that we think are going to improve your position and move the ball forward for you. 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. Bruce is on the phone right now, just waiting to take your call. So 385-800-7967. We look forward to hearing from you.
Get that Ascent plan, courtesy of the folks at Teton Wealth Group. 385-800-7967. Thanks, Ethan. We'll
chat with you
again. All right, we'll come back. We got more around the day right here at 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's our final segment right here on Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and you. All right, so Ja Morant, we can't go the whole show without talking about this Instagram post where he, and the only thing I can describe this as is, I think it's a call, I think it's a cry for help at the very least. I don't know what to think about it because when they put a welfare check out for him, because that's how disturbing the post was from Ja Morant today that he then deleted afterward. The social media post on Instagram says, "Love ya, Ma," with a blue heart emoji. "Love ya, Pops," with a blue heart emoji. "You the greatest baby girl," to his daughter. Blue heart emoji. And then he said, "Bye, and stay strong. Bye."
Yeah, that's not your typical post.
And you can't mess around with it either.
No, you can't mess around with that stuff. And, you know, people tend to, when they put stuff out on social media, they're really crying out, I think. When people get so public about their personal life on social media, that's a situation where they're like, someone please help me. Whatever, you know, may be wrong or just not right. I clearly believe that's a real help or a real cry for help in that situation. And I think what's hard for us is you go, well, how could you have a problem? You're so talented. You have all this money. You have all this. You have all that. And I think we just tend to forget people are human, you know, and they have real emotions, real struggles, real challenges, and we all got them. And no matter what place or what part of life we're in, and I think we're all just so caught up in our superstars, our celebrities are above all of those things, and there's just no way in the world that they would ever have any issue. And so we tend to not have, a compassion for it,
right,
or even an understanding of it, and we should. I'm sure it's...
Now, the police came, and he said, no, and it was reference to me getting off of social media, but I think anybody who just looks at it goes, well, your infant daughter doesn't get a message of you getting off of social media.
Yeah, and you usually on social media, you're out there for your public. So you want to kind of tell, hey, fans. You know,
I'm glad they did the welfare check, because you have to. You have to in this situation. But at the same time, I hope that he's not just trying to get the type of attention that I hope he's – I hope that it's the correct attention that he gets. Well, I hope he gets some help.
And if he is, you know, and he does have issues, then maybe us just knowing, it's just me getting off social media is all it was. And maybe it's a lot more, and maybe we just don't need to know.
Right.
And so let him have his figure it out.
All right, there you go. We'll be back again tomorrow, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.